to. Now, he went tonight ago was talking about that little word, shall.
Yes.
That's a word we don't use much in English language anymore, shall. Matter of fact, I read one commentator that said that there was no use or need or cause to even have such a word, shall, in the English language, when will means the same thing. But they don't mean the same thing. Shall is an emphatic form. In other words, it puts emphasis and certainty on something. And when it says shall, it's a little stronger than the term will. Shall. I never shall forget today. You know why I was thinking that way? I said I never will, because we're absolutely certain. Want to put emphasis and certainty on the fact that we'll never forget today when the Lord saves me. Oh, I praise His name. Listen, there's some things I regret in life, but there's one thing I'll never regret, and that's the day that I came to know Him. As my personal Savior, I never shall forget the day when the Lord saved me. Hallelujah. We got to sing that second verse and the chorus, however long it takes to get the goody out of it. All right, let's sing. Now I can't
I'm
started talking about being pardoned. We preach in the prisons a lot of times, and I tell you, those men, they know the difference between being paroled and being pardoned.
Amen.
They talk Amen. About how it is when you're paroled, you're set free. The parole board brings you forth. You stand before them, and they choose whether or not that you're good enough or you've come around to the place where they can send you back out in the world and you're not going to commit crimes again. Said when you get paroled, you're set free, but yet you're still bound.
Yes, sir.
You're set free, they let you go, but yet you're still owned by the state.
Yes, sir.
You're set free, but you still have rules and guidelines. But we got a man here that's out on parole, can't make it tonight because they won't let him out. They got him bound down, and he said, it is when you get paroled, you may think that you're free a little bit, but you're really not. You're still bound down by what it is that's held you captive all this time. You still got all these boundaries. You can't go outside. But now when you get pardoned, thank God, all things are wiped away. Whenever you get paroled, it is that I can look up your record, and I can still see what crime you committed when you got put in prison. I can still see all them God and them people that you killed. But when you get pardoned, thank God, it's wiped away. Amen. I mean, they can look up your name. And when they see it, it's a blank sheet. Amen. I mean, when you get pardoned, forgiven. Amen. But not only that, you're fully forgiven.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Ain't it good to be saved? Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to get saved every time I mess up. I'm glad the blood still works. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate your pastor, and I appreciate what you stand for, Brother Toby. And I'm glad to say that I have a few preacher friends and preacher acquaintances that are still standing with the old path.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And I don't care if it gets down to me and my family, then I'm still standing with the old path. I'm going to stand with the King James Bible. And I'm planning on being buried with one.
Amen.
Just in case somebody comes alongside to dig me up, they'll find the Word of God. Amen. I'm not giving up my King James Bible. I may get my ears beat off, I may get my hands cut off, and I may even get my legs maimed off, but I'm still going to stand with the Word of God.
Amen.
And before it's all over, Brother Toby, they may cut our tongue out, but that's all right. I'm going to gum it for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This old way is working. It has worked for me all of my 41 years, and ain't no need me trying to change now. Amen. I'm sticking with the old paths wherein is the good way. And I encourage you to do the same thing. We're living in some slothful days. We're living in frivolous days. We're living in days that people claimed to be going with the old path. They're falling to the wayside. Amen. They're falling to the wayside by the dozens and by the hundreds. There's old preachers and pastors that I used to look up to, that I used to listen to. I got a preacher friend of mine that used to be my pastor, and I got a whole box full of his tapes at home, Brother Toby, from back in the 90s when he used to preach and slobber and praise God and hold that Bible up and stand on with that Word of God in his hand and preach with the power and anointing of God upon his preaching. He sailed away, and now he's holding one of them new finagly comic books, and amen, they got a little pretty sissified praise team up on the stage with him during the singing time, amen. And all they want to do is do the name it, claim it game, and they'll just serve you a hamburger to get you in.
Amen.
But I refuse to go that way. Amen. I'm planning on making most everybody mad at me. Amen. Paul didn't have very many folk liked him, but he had the power of God on his side. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the Lord tonight. I love him. I praise his name for putting up with us. Amen.
Amen.
If you got a King James Bible, if you'd find your place tonight, in Luke chapter number 15, I'm honored, I'm humbled to have the opportunity just to be here tonight behind this pulpit. I appreciate Brother Toby giving us the opportunity for being here. And we'll be in much prayer for you meeting. I cannot make it tomorrow night, but I do plan in full intention to be back with you Saturday night. Shout and run with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're willing and you're able tonight to stand with us for the reading of God's Word in Luke chapter number 15, very familiar scripture. Let's look at the words of Jesus beginning in verse number 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and journeyed himself, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, hallelujah. And when he came to himself, had a preacher out there, amen. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and stand before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Yeah.
He rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, kissed him. His son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him.
Amen.
Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name we approach thee tonight. I pray, God, that you would forgive us, Lord, of anything that might be a hindrance betwixt me and thee tonight. I plead the blood of Jesus tonight upon my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus on this heart tonight. I pray, God, that you would cleanse us from top to bottom and bottom to top. Cleanse us from the inside out, outside in. I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint us, I pray, Lord, with the anointing oil that only you can send. Send fresh oil, we pray tonight. And I pray, God, that you would take and bind any evil that might be in this outfit tonight. Lord, if there be any evil, any wickedness anywhere about this place, Lord, any demons, I pray, God, you would bind them tonight, God, that the people of God might be able to dig in the Word of God for the next little while. I pray, Lord, that you'd get all the glory, and Lord, that you'd get all the credit for what takes place in here. I pray, God, that you'd touch us now with that glory. Anoint us, we pray, with the good Holy Ghost. Lord, give us much liberty and looseness. I pray, oh Lord, that you would guard our mouth, and we don't say a thing that you don't want said. But Lord, prod us that we would say everything that you do want said. Bless this meeting, we pray. And bless this church. Bless this pastor. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I want to preach for a bit tonight, if the Holy Ghost would anoint us for a moment tonight. I want to preach here in this old story that we're all familiar with. And the thought tonight that I want us to look at is from the pen to the party. From the pen to the party. Might I remind you tonight that sin will always take you further than you ever really wanted to go.
Amen.
And it'll keep you there longer than you ever really intended on staying. And that sin tonight will cost you a whole lot more than you ever really wanted to pay. Amen. We see this young man finds himself here as a selfish young man in verse number 12. And he gets his mind detoured and he allows the devil to have his mind for a little while. And he goes to asking for things that he'd ever wished he'd never asked for. Amen. How many times have we found ourselves, we ask for something, we'll get a little ways down the road and we say, boy, I sure wish I'd have never asked for that. Amen. You better watch what you ask for, you just might get it.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of people find themselves in predicaments tonight because they ask for it. Amen. But I want to look here and draw some help for just a short bit tonight from this Word of God. We see here, I see a couple of things that stand out at us tonight. And first thing we see is the hidden misery. There's a hidden misery. This boy has hidden misery deep inside him. There's born again people even sitting, I guarantee you, sitting in this congregation tonight, that's got misery bottled up inside them, folded real neatly and tucked away inside their hearts. They're miserable tonight. The choir go to singing and you can't even get them to smile. Amen. Somebody go to shouting and they're snarling nose up. I'm talking about saved folk now. Amen. The folks that's been saved, they got that hidden misery that's inside them. Living in this world tonight, it don't take very long to get miserable if you're looking the wrong direction tonight. Hey, we must keep our focus in these very last days. Hey, listen tonight. There's an idiot running this country. Don't focus on the idiot, friend. Focus on the God. Amen. That's still ahead of this country. Hey, I've been out of this country before more than one time. And I don't know of another country I'd rather live in. We may have a dummy running this country, but I'd still rather live there here than I'd ever live anywhere else. Amen. Hey, I say thank God it still is. God bless America. Hey, look at the money in your pocket. It still says in God we trust. Amen. Hallelujah. It's easy to be get your sights in the wrong direction tonight. Hey, we must remember that this ain't our home. country. This ain't my home tonight. I'm headed home, amen. I'm headed to a place far from here. Amen. This boy had some hidden misery. Now what brings on hidden misery? First of all tonight, we see his speculation. Look in verse number 12 with us. And the younger of him said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Right. This boy's done got some speculation going on. Friend, the speculation will get you in deep trouble. Amen. He's a speculating, amen. The grass is greener on the other side. Amen. He's got his head run through the fence, amen. My house is built about 1,000 feet off the road. And there's a pasture fence goes all the way out one side of the driveway, around the house, and back out the other side of the driveway. And there's cows on all sides. The other day I started out the driveway, and the pasture just as green as it can be, amen. Why is it green? Because we got good chicken litter put on it, hallelujah. Chicken litter help about anything, amen. We got a good coat of chicken litter put on that pasture. It's as green, amen. It's as green as these walls are white, amen. But there on my driveway still dead because it's moody grass. Amen.
Yes,
and over in the pasture, it's all kind of clover, all kind of things. It's just green as it can be. But I started out my driveway, and my fence was standing over toward the driveway at a 45-degree angle. All them posts, Brother Toby's been over like that going out through there. I said, what in the world is going on? Amen. Well, I come back in later that evening, and this old mama cow up there had her head run all the way up to the shoulders. Amen. Reaching out far as she could, eating on the edge of the gravel. I'm talking about eating on the edge of the gravel, eating where they just a little wild onion here and there. Amen. A little green streak every once in a while. In the meantime, she's standing hoof deep over there in green stuff. Amen. But she's got her head run plumb through that fence, pushing a fence over, trying to eat the gravel out of the edge of my driveway. Amen. That's just like us tonight. Amen. Hey, thank God tonight, if you're a member of a good independent fundamental King James Bible believing devil hating sin chase church, you ought to be proud tonight. Thank God. Amen. You ought to be glad where God planted you at. Amen. You ought to thank God. Thank God. Thank God that you got a good nest to go to. Amen. Hey, quit trying to run your head through the fence. Amen. Eating from the gravel of the world. Hey, quit eating the dead grass of the world. Hey, quit eating the wild onions of the world. Get back over in the pasture, bless God, and eat what sheep's supposed to be eating.
Amen.
This boy's speculating.
Amen.
He's speculating that he could get a little better if he had a little money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right.
That's fact too, friend. Hey, listen, the root of all evil is the love of money. Say amen. It's in there somewhere. You track it down. That evil, it always tracks down to there's a dollar there somewhere.
Right.
Matthew 6:24 says you can't serve 2 masters.
Right.
You can't serve God and mammon too.
Right.
You can't serve both of them. You got to make your mind up who you're going to serve, amen. But you see, this boy here, he was interested in selfish gain.
Yes.
Hey, that's where we find ourselves many times. We grow into a selfish monster. A farmer don't want all the land, he just want what joins him.
Right.
You'll get that about dinner time, amen.
But
you see, tonight we're selfish people. Yeah, we're living in a gimme generation.
You're right.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
Everybody thinks the world owes them something. I tell you what we owe tonight. We owe hell. Amen. We deserve hell tonight. But thank God for the good saving grace of God. We miss hell and gain heaven tonight. Amen. But you see, he went to speculating. Amen. Hey, listen tonight. Anytime you go to speculating that the grass is greener on the other side, it's probably because it's growing on a cesspool.
Amen.
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 Amen. Folks swapping wives, swapping husbands, swapping everything. They were swapping jobs, so there wasn't none. Amen. Hey, listen, that we ought to be glad where God's put us at.
Amen.
The speculation will soon turn you into a situation.
You're right.
He found himself in a situation. Verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country.
Right.
And there wasted his substance with riotous living.
Amen.
That riotous living, that right there means selfish living. His speculation has done got him over into a situation. The fun of sin is only for a season.
Right.
You mark that on your calendar, friend. It'll only be for a season. Hey, this money was burning a hole in this boy's pocket. He couldn't hardly stand it. He was looking for somewhere to go spend that money. Amen. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 13, he went to a far country. The Bible don't say he went to the next county. The Bible don't say he went to the next state. The Bible don't say they went 4 states over. The Bible don't even say he went to a near country. He went into a far country.
Amen.
It done carried him way further than he ever planned on going substance soon ran out.
You're right.
His substance soon ran out. If you go depending on your substance and on the world of substance, friend, it won't be long, friend. Your substance will run out. Hallelujah tonight. You better learn how to survive without money. You better learn how to survive without new cars. You better learn how to survive without, because there's going to be a time, amen, in your life to where we have to survive without substance. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight. Thank God. I'm not surviving on substance. I'm surviving because I got salvation through the Savior tonight. You see, his situation, this here story is always known as the prodigal son. That word prodigal means one who frivolously wastes treasures.
Amen.
One who frivolously wastes treasures. You see, his speculation got him in a situation, and he soon found himself with some affiliation. Look in verse 15. His affiliation. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country.
Right.
And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. His affiliation. Sin will hook us up with some bad people.
You're right.
And sin will hold us in some bad places.
Amen.
The taste of wickedness will grow inside us like a cancer.
You're right.
Your flesh tonight ain't saved.
Amen.
I might say this over here too. Your flesh tonight ain't saved.
Amen.
Your flesh tonight wakes up every morning, amen, looking for somewhere to wicked. Your flesh wakes up, my flesh wakes up looking for some evil. Amen.
Amen.
It don't make no difference if you cut the TV on or the computer on. Hey, listen, your flesh is like a red-boned hound looking for a white-tailed deer. It's sniffing up every tree. It's sniffing across every trail looking for some wicked, looking for some evil tonight. Hey, listen tonight, you better watch it tonight. Your flesh will get you some bad affiliation. He's found himself affiliated with some bad things. And that wickedness gets inside of us. It grows like a cancer inside of us. Spreads like wildfire. And before long, it's not just affecting your mind. It's affecting your members. It's affecting every part of you.
Amen.
I was preaching last night over there in the book of Romans where he says to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. And he goes on to talk about renewing through the renewing of our mind. In other words, the renovation of our mind. Friend, your mind tonight, my mind tonight, is the door to my life.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever. The ins and outs of this mind, friend's important. Friend, you better make your mind up what you're going to let go in and what you're going to let come out of this mind tonight, because it'll cause you to have some affiliations.
Amen.
Of a bad sort.
Amen.
This poor man, he finds himself in a bad affiliation. But his speculation leads to a situation which leads into affiliation, and he soon has an irritation.
Right.
Look in verse number 15 with us once more. It says that he sent him into the fields to feed swine.
Right.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Notice there now. Notice now. Look in verse 14. He went into this land. This famine's done kicked up now. Amen. And he began to be in want. And he finds himself after he begins to be in. When you go to begin to be, when your substance runs out and my substance runs out, if I'm traveling the wrong road, you're going to always look to the wrong direction to get some help.
You're right.
It amazes me, Pastor, how people that's thinking about getting a divorce seek the advice from folks that done had four divorces. And they'll email me, they'll text me, or they'll say, well, we're having a little bit of marital issues. We'll be back when we get our marriage straightened out. No, you won't. You won't do it. You won't neither one of you be back. And it won't be long. You'll be at the lawyer's office. If there's anything, any place you need to be tonight, when you have a situation that's at the house of the living God, hey, you'd be amazed tonight. Something that's got you overwhelmed. Something that's got you overtook tonight. If you just find yourself over the house of God, you'd be amazed tonight what the power of God would do for you tonight. Amen. It's Thomas David. He said, I'm wanting to get back to the house of God. I long to be at the house of God. Amen. Brother Scott, I've had times in my life and situations come up there, whether it be physical, financial, or spiritual, and it seems to overtake me, overwhelm me. It overtakes my whole life. Before long, I find myself so unfocused, and I get down at the house of God. They'll go singing about songs of Zion. Amen. No sister go raising up her handkerchief. Somebody squeal over on this side. see his irritation. He done finds himself in a very irritated situation.
Yes.
Notice with me the phrase there, he would fain. It says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. That phrase would fain right there in the Greek means to covet after. He was coveting what the pigs were eating.
Right.
I said he was coveting. Now he wasn't over there on the edge puking and gagging because he thought he didn't have to eat what they had.
Right.
The Bible says he was coveting after it.
Right.
He's a wanting what they had. Sin will cause us to have a filthy appetite.
You're right. Amen.
If we allow that sin to roll into our life, it causes a filthy appetite.
Amen.
Now notice here, I want to parallel park right here for just a moment. Look here in verse number 16 with me. Said he is coveting after he was coveting after this. He said he would fain have filled. He didn't want a bite of it. He didn't even want a sip of it or a taste of it. He said he wanted a whole belly full.
Yeah.
I pastor, if you got a belly full of that. Amen. He wanted a belly full.
Right.
Of that swine food, that pig food, that hog slop, might you say.
That's right.
When I was growing up, I grew up in a country home. We grew up on a farm. We had pigs and we had cows and chickens, and we still got all that except for the pigs. We now eat the pigs. Amen. I got a deacon raises the pigs for me, and I eat his pigs. Hallelujah. But anyway, I remember when I was a kid, Brother Toby, Mama had a slop bucket. And we eat three meals a day. It wasn't no Burger King, wasn't no Hardee's and that. We eat three. I'm talking about we get up in the morning time and Mama scrambling a dozen eggs and put half a pound of cheddar cheese in it and cook some cat head biscuits and put some real butter inside them cat head biscuits. When it first come out, I'm thinking myself hungry, amen. And should make some more. I'm talking about big red-eyed gravy and white gravy and hallelujah and some good thick slab side bacon, amen, been salt and cured, amen. And we'd have breakfast, then we'd come in for lunch and we'd have pintos and turnip greens and corn, amen, and cornbread. We was blessed, amen. Come in on supper time about dark 30, amen. And she'd fill us up with all them good vegetables, green beans with fat back in it, and just on and on, amen, was eating right. Amen. But she'd cook for an army. There was an army of us, but she'd cook and cook and cook, and we'd eat and eat and eat, and whatever there was left called scraps. She'd come down the end of the counter. I can still hear that fork now coming across that plate. She'd hold that plate up about a 45 degree angle and take that fork and rake it off in there, and then whatever burnt grease or whatever was left from supper, she'd dump that in there. And anything that went bad in the refrigerator, she'd take out and put it in there. Maybe a gallon of sour milk or any old thing, some old bad hamburger meat, she'd put it in there. And all that old rent sired stuff would be in that what she called the slop bucket.
Yes, right.
And then about every 3 days, she said, "Hey, boy, how about taking this slop to the hogs?"
Right.
And so glory to God, I'd go by there and get a hold of that bucket. But before I got the bucket, Mama always done the thing of taking the lid off. She wouldn't let me take the slop bucket with the lid on it. She'd take the lid off. And I'd ease out the door. Hallelujah. You don't get in no hurry with no slop bucket, amen. I'd ease out that door. I'm going to tell you something other. That was the most refuse smell, the most pungent smell I've ever smelled in my life. There ain't nothing matches that. I mean, you think a hog pen is thick. You ought to see what they eat, amen. I'd start out that door and it'd stink, and the hog pen was way down yonder in the holler. And I figured out later why it was way down yonder in the holler. But at that time, it didn't make no sense why the hog pen was so far from the house. And I'd start to go out of the yard, down across the barnyard, down across the pasture, with that old slop bucket in my hand, that stuff stinking, and I'd slosh it. And every time you slosh a little bit, stir it up, it'd go stinking even worse. I'd get down there to that hog pen, and the hog side, the hog pen by that house, and I'd take that slop bucket, and you always pour it like this. Because you just stand there and pour it, it's going to splatter all over you. And so you had to jump back as you poured it. And we had an old bee trough out of them 1x8 planks. Amen. You take a 1x8 plank, put it together, and put two big planks, one on each end. And if that thing turned around, I'd take a stick, turn that thing around, and turn that bucket up, and you pour that slop on one end, and it'd run to the other end.
Right.
I said it'd run to the other end. remember time getting in the pool. I mean, they'd jump in there, snout first, and run that snout up and down that old slop. And I mean, smell like something you ain't never smelled in your life. And she's a running, that old sow would get over in there and lay in and run up and down through there. Amen. And the old bull hog done the same thing every time you carry slop.
Right.
He'd root her out of the trough, then he'd take his snout and flip it over in the hog pen, and then they'd eat the slop out of the hog pen.
Right. Right.
Now, I'm not speaking strange language tonight. Somebody, too many of you shaking your head in here. Must be country folk in here. You see, tonight, all hogs the same.
Right.
Every one of them do the same thing. They'll flip it over. If they have to tie it down, or they'll flip it over in that slop. I ain't got time to preach what's in the hog pen, but y'all know what's in the hog pen.
Yes. Amen. Right.
He'd flip that thing over and that slop would run and intermingle and just run itself all in there, and they'd go to eating that stuff and slurping that stuff like a Slurpee up from downtown. Amen. Right. Love that stuff. Now why not go to all that telling you? Because that's what that boy was coveting after.
You're right.
Notice in your Bibles, he said that he would have filled his belly with the husk. That word husk right there means leftovers.
Right.
He wasn't coveting after the fresh slop. He was coveting after that stuff that was left laying on the hog pen floor after the hogs was done. That's how far sin will take us. Jesus Christ said these words, and he said these words for a reason. Friend, these good folk tonight on methamphetamines and everything you can dream of, out there laying in the bottom of the hog pen alive, slurping on things they never thought they'd slurp home, and it didn't take but one little selfish sin to get them there. They had a filthy appetite. His irritation, friend, it'll cause irritation. And his irritation, hallelujah, in verse number 17, led to a realization.
You're right.
Verse number 17's a number of victory. Look in verse number 17. And when he came to himself.
Yeah.
We all just pause, have a little commercial, and run around the building a little bit. Thank God tonight. I praise the Lord for the day that I came to myself. Hey, I lift my voice unto the Holy God tonight for the day that he allowed me to come to myself. Hey, bless his holy name. I'm glad. Thank God that I'm not lying in the hog pen tonight. I'm glad for the day that I came to myself. Verse number 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and perish from hunger? And I perish from hunger. He said, I'll rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You see his realization. He recalled, if you'll notice in verse 17, he recalled the abundant supply that was back at home.
Right.
He recalled the abundant supply that was back at home. He remembered the extra they had back at home.
All right.
You know what? He found himself, Brother Toby, in a miserable mess.
Yes, sir.
I want to say something tonight, as discreet as possible. Had a family that actually, Brother Toby, when we preached here last year, they sat right over there. They sat here with us last year when we preached here. Had a family in our church that they got their eyes onto substance. And they got their eyes detoured from church. And how do I know that? Because they got to where the church wasn't the most important thing. They had this to do and had that to do. And
right.
Amen. They was volunteering for overtime at work here and volunteering there. And amen. Had to go carry mama here and had to go get the car worked on there. And it's just first one thing and another. Right. And the first thing happened, they went to busybody and running nose and everything all night and gossiping around the edge and this and that and the other. And to make a long story short, it got so bad, I finally had to bring them in. I had to bring them in and ask them politely as I possibly could as their pastor, please quit spreading discord among the brethren. Just kind of watch what you say. Things. You got everybody stirred up. You got half the ladies squalling. And amen. What I really want to say, bless God, I'm about sick of your mess. And if God let me, I'd whoop you all the way to town back. We're stirring this church up about splitting the whole thing. Amen.
Right.
But you got to be a Christian about the thing. Amen. Right. And I asked him nice as I know how. And I said, now, you mean, listen, I said, now you hear your pastor well tonight. I love you. And I want to be a pastor tonight. And if you'll just take this correction and grow in grace with it, I said, we can be closer than we ever been. And you'll be, and you can rejoin the fellowship of the brothers and sisters and be here, and that child that you raised. reason can grow up in a good fundamental Baptist church and be saved by the good grace of God, or you can let the devil have your mind, and he's going to run you crazy. He's going to turn you against your pastor,
right,
and you'll pack your bags, and you'll leave, and you mark it down. But about 2 months from now, you're going to wake up one morning and say, "Oh my God, how in the world did I wind up where I'm at?"
Right. Stay on, preacher.
Well, I got word 2 weeks ago. They sent word back, and here's what they said. Don't ever leave the glory. Don't ever leave the glory. That's what they told one of the church members. You see, they done traveled the counties over looking for somewhere to go to church. And we're living in a dead outfit over yonder. They ain't nowhere to worship over there now. I mean, Alabama folks, deadest outfit I've ever seen in my life. Hey, very few folks you go shout amen. You can't even say amen. That whole place turn around and look at you. Amen. Amen. You hear me well tonight. You better watch what you're sipping on. Watch what you're slurping on tonight. Because if you sip and slurp on the wrong thing and in the wrong area, you'll find yourself in a place you wish you'd have never went. He got to recognizing. He said, "You know what? I remember back over yonder at the Father's house how we had all kinds of bread to eat.
Amen.
Debbie cakes on the side. Roasted ham in the oven. I mean, we had all kinds of everything we wanted. We had it there." And he goes on to say how they even had extra there. Had spare. He said, "I can't believe that here I am over here in amongst this miserable mess."
Amen.
But praise God, he recognized it.
Amen.
Somebody that recognizes their mess, you can help them.
Yes, sir.
But if you never recognize your help, you recognize your mess, you can't get no help.
Amen.
He recognized his mess. So you see, his hidden misery that was inside him has led him to a place he wished he'd never been. But thank God, when he recognized where he was, through the good grace and mercy of God, his hidden misery turned into a happy meeting. Hallelujah. A happy meeting. Look in verse 19. And he said, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, to make me as one of thy hired servants." He really realized his actual low estate. Do you know we ain't nothing tonight?
Amen.
We're pitiful tonight. Without the good mercy and grace of God, we in a mess. We're unworthy to be where we are tonight. I mean, we're unworthy. I said, did you hear what I said tonight? We're unworthy to be where we are tonight. Hallelujah. We're unworthy tonight to be sitting where we are and standing where we are. Hey, tonight, thank God. You could have been born in Ethiopia. You could have been born in Africa. You could have been born over in China. You could have been born in Russia. But bless His holy name tonight. You living in God bless America. And not only living in God bless America, you living in the South. Hallelujah. Right smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt. Hallelujah. You got a pastor, amen, that believes in a good old time way of the King James Bible. He's preaching, amen, that hell's hot and heaven is to gain through the good grace of God. Amen. Thank God you ought to praise God tonight. You ought to jump up and walk the backs of the pews that your pastor ain't Joel Osteen tonight. Amen. He'd get on national TV and says there's all kind of ways to heaven. He's a liar tonight. Amen. He joins in the same club as the devil. He classified himself with the devil. The devil's a liar. Amen. That's a lie. There ain't but one way to heaven tonight. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that our salvation has power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's gotten God convicted.
Right.
That'll help you now. That right there is what we need back in our churches, some good old time conviction.
Amen.
He got conviction in his life. Amen. He realized his low estate, but his conviction soon led into correction. Conviction with no correction won't do you no count.
Right.
You can't get no help with just conviction. You better have some correction going on there.
Yes.
Verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. Hallelujah. That'll help you. He arose and came to his father. And he arose and came to his father. Sometimes you got to do something.
Right.
Amen. If he found himself over in Hogslop and just laid over and said, "Boy, I wish God would come get me." Well, what's wrong with getting your blessing assured and something going toward God?
Amen.
He went toward God. Amen. He arose and came. Verse number 19, you see him repenting personally. And verse number 21, you see him repenting purposely. Hallelujah for that. Amen. You see, his correction soon led into compassion. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Look in verse 20. But when he, I'm glad God butts in every once in a while.
Amen.
But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hey, but when he was a great way off, on his mind. I'm glad, thank God, he saw me a great way off. Upon Calvary. You see, this compassion turns into a connection. Oh, I'm glad I got a connection tonight. Hey, it's good to be connected, I said. I'm glad, thank God, I'm connected to something. And through Calvary, we can be connected tonight. Look in verse number 21. He said, the Son said unto him, Father, I sinned against the heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.
Yes, yes.
But he had a connection. You say, preacher, I went too far. I don't know that I can get no help now. I went too far. Oh, no, 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 no. Friend, ain't no such thing. Right. Ain't no such thing you don't went too far, friend. Because we got a compassionate Father tonight.
Sure.
You see, he came to him. He look what, if you'll notice in verse, look, notice now, look what he done. In verse 21, he repented to him.
Amen.
There must be some repentance tonight.
Amen.
A connection to cause you to repent. Amen. He repented. Now watch with me in verse number 22. But the Father said to his servants, he didn't even acknowledge what the boy said. Sound to me like forgiveness done been set up over there.
Right.
The Father done made his mind up ahead of time. If that boy show up, he'd go forgive him. Because he done had it took care of. Hey, bless his holy name. Ain't you glad that forgiveness stands in the brink of time? Amen.
Amen.
Hey, he said, take that best robe. Hey, not no holy robe, not no moth-eaten robe, not no momo's robe. He said, take the best robe.
Amen.
And put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Hey, then there's some putting going on. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he has a putting, amen. Now, you see that robe right there? That robe covered him up. Those robes was long robes, and they took, and he said they put that robe on him. I thank God tonight, amen, that he's put grace upon me. He's wrapped us in grace tonight. Hallelujah. You can't get away from grace. You can run to the Father's seat. You can change countries tonight, but you can't get away from grace. The Bible says they took and put a ring on his finger. Ring tonight, like this wedding ring is the round circle of the red wedding ring is a representation of the continuous love that I have for that bride of mine sitting back down the back pew. Amen. 1989, she slid this on my hand. I slid one on her hand, representing that my love for her and her love for me would never stop until death do us part. It was a circular motion, and amen. And it's still working today. As a matter of fact, it's better today than it was in 1989. Hallelujah. And if you'd ever get yourself with some good Holy Ghost around you, amen, it'll be better as time goes on. It gets better and better and better. Amen. About 5 years from now, it'll be better than it is tonight.
Amen.
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 That ring is standing up for the Holy Ghost. But it goes on to say, he said, to put shoes on his feet.
Right.
You get grace and Holy Ghost in your life, it'll give you some go forth.
Amen.
You'll go do something.
Right.
Amen. You'll be begging for something to do. You'll be looking for something to do.
That's right.
Amen. And put some go forth on him.
Right.
Put some shoes. Hey, he got some retreads. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad God's in the retreading business?
Yeah.
I'm glad, thank God, when I spun all my tires off, God retreaded them.
Yeah.
Amen. My 14-year I ain't here tonight, so I'm going to say something. I couldn't say this in front of him. Amen. Amen. I remember whenever my first car, I went through three sets of tires before I figured out what's causing them to wear out. Amen. We'd have burnouts and drag races and every ungodly thing you can think of. Do donuts in the school parking lot and, amen, run from the police and all kind of ungodly things. Amen. Had to have some God to save me from. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Ain't you glad God saved you from doing donuts in the school parking lot and having burnouts with your school buddies? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
But thank God, I'm glad tonight whenever I burn everything off in my life, I burn all the tread off. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord's sitting there with a good old Holy Ghost tire machine. He can jerk things off my rim, put new tires on me. Hallelujah. White letters, 50 wide. Yeah. I'm talking about, thank God tonight, I'm glad He's in the retreading business.
Yeah.
He put some treads on him. You see, this connection turned into a celebration.
Yes.
Hey, you get yourself a connection. Every time you come up here, there'll be a celebration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. I can go to Walmart. I hate Walmart. I don't like Walmart. Can't stand Walmart. Brings out the flesh in me. But I can go to Walmart, though. Brother Scott, I can see one of my church members over yonder, four aisles over. And something inside me just boils up. And this joy goes coming out of me. For I know that I done hollered four aisles over at a brother standing over there. And my Holy Ghost and his Holy Ghost is saluting one another. We get over there and get to talking, get to gathering up. Next thing you know, there's another brother come along. And here come another brother. Amen. Hey, amen. We got kicked out of a funeral home here a couple of years ago. So did. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Amen. Now, you see, if there's a connection, Brother Toby, amen, he said, my spirit bear witness to your spirit. Amen. And when our spirits, what does that mean, preacher? It means if I'm born again, I got the Holy Ghost. And you born again, well, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. When I see you, my Holy Ghost said, hey, there I am. Hey, let's go over and talk to me a minute. Amen. We was in a funeral home, about 7 or 8 of us done gathered around, us and our wives, and we done there. It wasn't disrespectful because the girl that had the family member there in the casket, she was there with us. I mean, we got the laughing, carrying on. I mean, I can't think of a better place to look for some joy than the funeral home.
Yeah.
Amen. Joy done got blowed up and bought over, and the funeral director come over and said, I'm going to ask y'all to go out on the porch. Said, y'all disturbing things in here. That's what a connection do for you. You get connected, friend, when you come in the house of God. You'll come in the back door back there. You won't be wondering if a preacher going to quit at 12. You won't be, amen. Amen. If you wondering if your preacher's preaching too long tonight, then you over there slurping on slop. Amen. Amen. If you're thinking they sang too many songs and you down there about the hog pen. Amen. Listen tonight. You better watch your area. Watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're dwelling on tonight. Amen. You see, if you got a connection, it'll turn into a celebration.
Yeah.
Amen. We come in over there. We done took our night service and our morning service and slammed them together. Because the morning service got to getting been so long. Got to getting over there and going way on past dinner. I said, ain't no need in us come back in here thinking we're going to bless somebody at 5 o'clock after you done laid in your lazy ball all evening. Might as well take Sunday night service, slide it on up here, and we just have a good old time church. So we tried that for a week or two, and this Sunday be the 17th week, and the Holy Ghost still honoring it. Amen. Souls getting saved. We running, shouting, having a good time, jumping over pews. Amen. Rocking the pulpit, preaching the Word of God. Just having a good time. Higher lift the whole community.
Amen.
Amen. What happened, preacher? We done got a party done broke out over there.
Yeah.
What are you celebrating, preacher? The resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the shed blood and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, we have something to celebrate about.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He took some hog, slopping something like us, amen, and saved us by His good saving grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tonight, thank God we got something to celebrate about. You'll notice in verse number 23, He said, go and get that fatty calf, He said, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive. He's alive again. He's lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Hey, he said, go get the fatty calf. I looked up the Greek word of that word fatty. You know what it means? It means grain fed. Glory. Hey, man, if you ain't never ate no grain fed beef, you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's a big difference in a cull cow and grain fed beef. Amen. Amen. He's done went from the trough to the table. He's done found himself. He done went from the pen to the party. From the pen to the party. And verse number 25, I don't got time to preach on all this other right here. Verse number 25, the older brother showed up, and look what he heard. Music and dancing.
Amen.
Music and dancing. Community makes fun of us because every once in a while somebody make a loud. Amen. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
If the Holy Ghost is in it, I don't want to sit in this made up mess. I ain't interested.
Amen.
If you're gonna run a lap here, make sure God's in it, because I'm praying you trip and fall if you ain't.
Amen.
Amen. Community, we outcasts. Amen. They were called for somebody's letter the other day from another Baptist church. They come over and join from an old dead Baptist church. You know what the deacon said? Word over there said we ain't sending that letter. Bless God, we don't send letters to other denominations. He said, I don't know what you mean. We're Baptists. He said, y'all ain't Baptists. He said, you ain't paying your dues to this association, and y'all running and shouting over it like a bunch of Comanches. I said, you tell him that the Comanches be ashamed to come over here. I got something to celebrate about tonight. He said they came in, they heard music, and they heard dancing. Thirdly and lastly, we see not only his hidden misery and this happy meeting, but we see his hope in the Master.
Amen.
You ain't got no hope tonight except in the Master.
Right.
Verse number 21, we see his unworthiness. We are all unworthy.
Amen.
We ought to realize our low estate, we're unworthy. We're one day away from being in this pig pen tonight.
Right.
By the good mercies and grace of God tonight, we're in this house of God.
Right.
His unworthiness. But in verse number 20, we see a great uniting. A great uniting.
Yeah.
What a thing. Ain't you glad tonight that whenever you go that far, that the Lord don't throw you away?
Amen.
I'm glad. Thank God His grace and mercy will take you. Let's stand all across the house. Let's bow our heads. And we'll turn it over to your pastor shortly. Brother, would you like your piano player to come? Be fine. Let's bow our heads together. We're going to pray in just a moment. But I want to ask you tonight, where are you? Are you down yonder by the pig pen tonight? Are you laying down yonder by the pig pen? Are you slurping on slop tonight? Tonight, I'm not asking you, are you out of church? Hey friend, I've been before in my life, I've been slurping on slop and sitting on the church pew every time the door's open.
Amen.
I wonder tonight if you'd like to find somewhere to run your head up under a pew. Maybe you'll run up under this altar and just beg God, show God, oh God, admit to God, Lord God, I'm unworthy to be here. I'm unworthy to be one of your children. The things that I've done, the places I've went, and the things that I've said. God, I'm unworthy to be called your child. But Lord, your son's coming home tonight. I'm here tonight. Lord, just make me one of your hired servants. But I got good news tonight. He won't make you his hired servant. He'll kill a heifer, a grain-fed heifer, put shoes on your feet and a robe on you, hallelujah, and a ring on your finger, and a great party will start in your life. I'm a member of a celebration that will never come to an end. When we leave here, friend, we go into the eternal celebration. You think that us shouters and praisers and celebrators make you mad and make you uncomfortable here? Wait till we get to glory. If you're going.
Amen.
I wonder tonight if you need to come to these altars, make things right with your Master. Would you? Would you waste time? This is a life, friend. Hey, what a life this is. I'm living it up. I'm living it up in the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the most blessed, powerful name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the opportunity just to be here tonight. Oh God, I pray that this word that you sent us tonight, God, would enter into the windows of our hearts. Lord God, would we see the areas in our life that needs correcting? Father, if there's one that is far off, God, I beg thee to pull them tonight and put them tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, it's yours.
You need to pray.